into a house? Yes, the church is like into a house. Whose house are we? What relation does Christ bear to that house? He's a son over his own house. It is his house. Is the church likened to a family? Yes, the church is likened to a family. What relation does Christ bear to the family? He's the firstborn among many brethren, that in all things he might have the preeminence. And the firstborn is the title of absolute preeminence. Oh, what a family that is, composed of all those who have been regenerated by the Spirit of God and brought into that wondrous family and given that unspeakable privilege of looking up into the face of the great God of heaven and saying, Abba, Father. Is the church likened to a bride? Yes, the church is likened to a bride. What relation does Christ bear to the bride? Well, he happens to be the groom, that's all. And you never heard of a bride without a groom. I've heard of many a woman who has been left waiting on the step, all dressed up but nowhere to go. The groom didn't arrive. And the bride gets her virtue and her value from the groom. Remember that, folks. Newspapers nowadays go into raptures about the dress of the bride, column after column, devoted exclusively to describing the beautiful dresses of the bride. And the poor old groom dismissed in a short sentence. He wore a dark suit. But eliminate the groom, and what you have nothing. The bride eyes not her garment, but her dear bridegroom's face. I would not gaze at glory, but on the King of grace. Not at the crown he giveth, but on his pierced hand. The Lamb is all the glory in Emmanuel's land. All things are of him, as to the source. Creation is of him. Redemption is of him. The church is of him. But more, all things are through him. As to the channel, every blessing you now possess or ever will enjoy will come to you solely and wholly through the mediation of the blessed Lord Jesus Christ. You'll never get anything from the Father except through the Son, who declared, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. In the first place, salvation is through him. Are you saved? You can say, yes, thank God I'm saved, but so am I. How did you get saved? Why, you reply, Jesus said, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved. I took him at his word. I came to him as the door. I believed he loved me and bore my sins and died to me. I took that step of faith. I crossed the threshold of that door. I own Christ as the Lord of my life. And that moment I was saved by his master's grace. Yes! That's how every person in the world is saved. And no one is ever saved apart from faith in him. Salvation comes through him. There are many ways to Christ, but only one way to God, and that's through Christ. Remember that. Many ways to Christ. Some people are kicked into salvation. Others are kicked into salvation. But whether you're kicked or whether you're kicked, what does it matter? You get in, that's the main thing. You get in. No two people are saved under exactly the same circumstances. There are some preachers that preach their own particular experience as though it is a mold for everybody else. What nonsense and worse. Were you hung over hell for 6 weeks? No. Did you lose 5 nights sleep in a row? No. Lose your appetite for 14 meals? No. Then you're not saved. What utter piffle, and worse than piffle. You've heard of the little girl, haven't you, who was being examined for church membership? And one of the elders with a deep bass voice and a baleful eye looked at the poor little shrinking thing and fired this dreadful question at her. How long did you spend in the bog of despondency? And the poor little thing that knew her pilgrim's progress quite well replied, please, sir, I didn't come that way. I went right to the cross. Bless her heart. No need to wander through the bog of despondency, not the slightest. In fact, John Bunyan tells us himself that the king had provided stepping stones through the bog
But usually fear followed so hard after the pilgrims, he forgot all about the stepping stones. There are other preachers that will not believe that a person is born again unless he's born again with an alarm clock in the left hand and a calendar in the other. Nonsense again. Little children who come to the Lord Jesus, they don't have such a great experience, a thrilling experience, as you had if you came as an adult. They were wooed by the wonderful story of the love of Christ. They were kicked into salvation. I had to be kicked. But whether it's one or the other, it matters not. We're brought to Him. Here's a person who comes to the door of salvation. He takes a wire from his pocket and starts working on that door. After 7 years of hard, unremitting labor, he makes a wonderful discovery. The door was wide open all the while. Giving himself a good swift kick, he passes through that door, and then, if you please, expects every other person to be as foolish as he. Nothing of the kind. Your experience is not my experience. When God saved you, He gave you an experience peculiarly your own. Exactly suited to your personality, and your complex personality to Him is an open book. Preach the gospel. The Spirit, like unto wind, which bloweth where it listeth, sometimes like a gentle zephyr, sometimes with the force of a cyclone. Take the case of Lydia, the seller of purple. As she listened to the voice of the Apostle Paul, the miracle of regeneration was done in her heart. Without any outward pomp or circumstance, whose heart the Lord opened, she attended unto the things which the Apostle Paul spake. But in that same city, the Philippian jailer needed an earthquake to wake him up and bring from his heart the question, what must I do to be saved? So whether it's a Lydia type of conversion, or whether it's the Philippian jailer type of conversion, all ends in Christ. Salvation is through Him. Neither is there salvation in any other. For there is none other name given under heaven among men whereby we must be saved. Second, forgiveness is through Him. Through this man is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins. Are your sins forgiven? How are they forgiven? Through faith in that one who bore those sins in his own body on the tree, who assumed their liability, and then expiated that sin by the sacrifice of himself. Forgiveness comes through faith in him. But more, peace is through him. Do you have peace with God? You reply, yes, thank God, I have peace with God. It is well with my soul. And how? Why, you reply, Romans 5 and 1 makes that perfectly clear. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Why through Him? Because all things are through Him. This peace was bought by Him. This peace was purchased by His precious blood. This peace is preached through Him. This peace is possessed by us through faith in Him. And we in turn preach peace by Jesus Christ. Eternal life is through Him. Are you the possessor of eternal life? You reply, yes, thank God, what's all mine? And how did this eternal life come to be your present and your eternal possession? You reply, the Word of God makes that perfectly clear. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. What comes next? Through Jesus Christ our Lord. What is eternal life? Supposing someone were to inquire after this meeting is over, do you have eternal life? You'd reply, yes. Thank God I have eternal life. How do you know? The Word of God assures me of that fact. That having believed on Christ, I am now the possessor of eternal life. The next question, what is eternal life? What would you say now? Well, John, the apostle, gives you a full and complete answer to that question. What is eternal life? This is the true God, speaking of Christ and eternal life. Eternal life is a person. Don't think of eternal life in terms of quantity, the number of years, millions, a trillion, or a billion, as the case might be. Eternal life is a life that has a certain quality to it. That eternal life was manifested in the person of the blessed Lord Jesus, so that the Word of God declares, He that hath the Son of God has what? Eternal life, for eternal life is in Him. In Him was life, and the life was the light of man. And this eternal life comes to us through the mediation of the Son of God. Deliverance comes through him. Are you saved? You say, yes, thank God I'm saved. Delivered from sin's doom? Yes, delivered from sin's doom. How? By the one who endured the cross and despised the shame, who was delivered for my transgressions, that I might be delivered from my transgressions. Salvation from sin's doom is through him who bore the penalty. Salvation from sin's power. How is that made possible? Through a man of God's right hand, one who ever liveth as our intercessor, as our advocate with the Father, as our great high priest in heaven. And ultimately, salvation from sin's possibility and sin's domain is going to be made good in our experience through that same person, who with the voice of the archangel and the trump of God shall rapture his people, shall raise the dead to be with him and to be like him forever. Deliverance from sin's doom and from sin's dominion and from sin's domain comes through him. But more, access is through him. For through him, wrote the Apostle Paul, we both, Jew and Gentile, have access by one Spirit unto the Father. Access into God's presence comes through him. Having an high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith. Having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience, our bodies washed with pure water. If any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. Let us come boldly to the throne of grace. And who made it the throne of grace? But the one whose grace we know, who though rich for our sakes became poor, that we through his poverty might be rich. But more, the power to live the Christian life comes through him. I don't suppose anyone on earth lived such a God-glorifying and Christ-magnifying life as did the Apostle Paul. Let's ask Paul. Paul, how did you do it? How did you manage it? Oh, replies the Apostle Paul, simple as ABC. I can do all things. All right, what comes next? Through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Why through him? Because all things are through him, as to the channel. And now, lastly, all things are to him, as to the object. All things head up in him. First, to him, the theme of prophetic witness. To him, give all the prophets witness that whosoever believeth on him shall receive remission of sins. To him, Acts 10:43. They tell me there's a circular chapel in Switzerland containing nothing but statues. The central statue is a statue of Christ. And surrounding the central statue are statues representing all the prophets of the Old Testament, both major and minor. And all these prophets are adopting the same attitude. Each is standing with outstretched hand and with a finger pointing toward the central statue. There stands Moses. Moses, of whom did you speak when you spoke of one like unto your brethren, becoming the prophet of God? And Moses points to Christ. Isaiah, to whom did you refer when you spoke of one despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief? And Isaiah points to the central figure. Jeremiah, you spoke of the branch of the Lord being made glorious. To whom did you have reference? And Jeremiah points to him. Ezekiel, you saw that wondrous vision of a throne upon the wheel set within the wheel, and upon that throne one like unto the Son of Man. Who is this Son of Man? And Ezekiel points to Christ. Daniel, you saw the Ancient of Days, and before the glory of that vision, your comeliness was turned within you to corruption. You were brought down flat upon your face, until that hand set you upon your knees, and ultimately caused you to rise to your feet. Who was that one whose vision you saw by the river Kibar? And Daniel points to Christ. And so the rest, Hosea, and Joel, and Amos, and Obadiah, right through, all with one voice, testified of him. Search the scriptures, and then you think you have eternal life. They are they which testify of me. And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. To him, the theme of prophetic witness. To him, the center of his people's gathering. Old Jacob was dying. His physical sight was real bad. He sadly needed an oculist. But never was the old gentleman's spiritual vision keener than when he pierced the centuries yet unborn and said of Judah, "The scepter should not depart from Judah, nor a lawgiver from between his feet, until Shiloh come, and unto him shall the gathering of the people be." Yesterday morning witnessed the gathering of the Lord's people in this place. I wonder what brought the people here. Was it the architectural beauties of this place? These glorious arches? These magnificent stained glass windows? Well, hardly. A jolly nice place, I must admit. But not by any stretch of imagination, a poem in architecture. Was it the dear brethren that was the attractive center? Oh, these dear brethren, some of them so dear, we wouldn't buy them at any price. A peculiar bunch, but the best was going anyhow. No, indeed. It wasn't the dear brethren that was the attractive center when we gathered here yesterday morning. What brought us here? Unto him shall the gathering of the people be. He is the center of his gathered faith. Where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst. Who else do you want when Christ is there? Christendom has supplanted the virtue and the value of the presence of Christ with the virtue and the value of the presence of a humanly ordained clergyman, apart from whose presence the Lord's Supper cannot be celebrated. What a travesty on the simple New Testament pattern he has given to us in the pages of Holy Scripture. Christ is the host at his own table, we his honored guests. And so, according to thy gracious word, in meek humility, this would I do, O Christ, my God, I would remember thee. To him, the center of his people's gathering. To him, the subject of our eternal song. What a song we're going to sing in heaven. Unto him that loved us, and washed us all, loosed us from our sins in his own blood, and has made us unto our God a kingdom of priests. Unto him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Christ, the consummation of all God's eternal purposes, and wonder of wonder, you and I, who once wandered in our folly, like prodigals, far from him, with enmity in our hearts toward him, knowing not God and desiring not his ways, were arrested by the Spirit of God, and in marvelous grace were brought into living vital union with him whom to know is life eternal, whom to know is to love, whom to love is to serve, and whom to serve is the greatest delight imaginable. Shall we tuck into our hearts, for this day and all the days, that our blessed Lord Jesus, the one to whom God has given a name that is above every name, at the mention of that name of Jesus, ultimately every knee shall bow and every tongue confess that he is Lord to the glory of God the Father. In the meanwhile, we know that Christ is the consummation of all God's eternal purposes, that all things are of him as to the source. Creation is of him. Redemption is of him. The church is of him. All things are through him as to the channel. Salvation is through him. Forgiveness is through him. Peace is through him. Eternal life is through him. Deliverance is through him. Access is through him. The power to live a life to his honor and glory comes wholly and solely through him. All things are to him as to the object. To him, the theme of prophetic witness. To him, the center of his people's gathering. To him, the theme of our eternal song. Blessed be his name, who loved us, who gave himself for us, and made for yours and mine to give to him that which God has given to him, the place of absolute preeminence in all his divine purposes. Made for yours and mine to apprehend this glorious fact and to revel in the enjoyment that comes to us from the assuring word of God that we are linked with God through him, who is the consummation of all his eternal purposes. God grant it for his name's sake. Amen.
Turn to number two, please. Number two, singing the first and last verses, and then our brother Gibbs will dismiss this meeting. Shall we stand as we sing these two verses? Number two.
now to the King eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God, be glory forever and ever to our blessed Lord Jesus, to whom he has revealed himself in all the glory of his being. O God, our Father, accept our thanks for him, and may our lives from now on be placed unreservedly at his disposal, that he to us shall be magnified. We ask it in his name as we seek thy parting blessing. Amen.